We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Kevin, y'all all right? Well, first and foremost, salute to Amazon and all that they did. We really appreciate it. Change for Change is something that we started, what, four, five, 6 years ago?
I don't remember. Life is a blur. Time is a blur. It's been a while, though.
But we did it because we wanted to give back. So many listeners are going through a lot, especially the holiday season, and we wanted to create something where we can give back to different organizations or to people that just need it. And we have helped so many people, from people that lost their house or needed stuff for their kids or, you know, lost a family member. And it's just a way that we do every year to help people and people like yourself. So we salute you guys for listening to us.
And it's come a long way, right? Because, I mean, think about it. We used to literally sit in the studio for 24 hours.
Yeah.
So we would literally broadcast from 6 a.m. in the morning to, what was it, midnight?
Midnight
at night. And we was just literally shaking down, you know,
celebrities,
our friends in the music industry, you know, all our celeb friends, you
know. Right.
And they were showing up, you know, they were donating a couple thousand here, tens of thousands here, sometime $100,000,
$150,000,
yeah. And we were able to help a lot of people. The first calls we did was HBCUs.
Thurgood
Marshall College Fund.
Yep.
Second year we did
mental health.
Brandon Marshall.
Yep.
I can't remember the name of the organization, but it's a mental health organization.
Yep.
And then that's when it gets blurry for me.
It gets blurry for me too. But yeah, that was the reason why we started it. And we, you know, what we started doing now is finding individual people, because so many people, especially out after pandemic, need so much help. So we try to do as much as we can. But today we got a special guest that we're gonna be kicking it with.
Okay.
You might know him as the Monster from New York City. Probably one of the illest producers.
Definitely one of the best ever.
He showed up for you several times, showed up to me many times.
The first real money I ever made in this business was because of this person.
That's right. Yeah. So ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be kicking it with Swiss Beats and his son Nasir Dean. Swizzy!
Zone, 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 za, za, za.
Man, what is you feeding him, man? My God. Were you like 6'3", 6'4"?
Like 6'4", 6'5".
Damn.
Now, Swiss, is this your son that played soccer and then stopped?
That's my little brother, Kazi.
That's your little brother, Kazi.
Everybody in the house is your little something, man.
That's a fact. Fair enough.
Now, as we approach the holidays, what does this time of year mean to you, Swiss?
Oh, man, holiday times is definitely family times, mm-hmm. and definitely times to, you know, see how other people are doing. Because I notice, like, during the holiday times, I see a lot of pressure come on people of what they can do and what they can't do. And I just want to, you know, I just want people to find their balance.
Absolutely.
When do you find the time for a lot of the stuff that you're doing? Because you're producing, you do verses, you're traveling, you have kids. When do you find the time to continue to create and do all these amazing things?
Everything I do is under the umbrella of creativity. So, mm-hmm. like, I make the time, and I need to stay busy. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's the key, is, like, to stay busy, because I don't feel I started yet, to be honest. I feel like I'm just now starting. Although I've done a lot of things, I feel like I'm just now starting, because I actually know what I'm doing now.
Mm. Oh, explain that. Expound on that. You know what you're doing now.
Yeah, because when I started, I was, you know, a teenager, mm-hmm. and things was happening and moving so fast. So you don't really know what you're doing at that age. You're just having fun. Mm-hmm. Now that I still have fun, but now that that's passed, you got time to say, okay, let me change different things. Let me set different goals. I went back to school to did 3 years to know what I'm actually doing, mm-hmm. instead of just doing what people are telling me that I'm doing, or mm-hmm. believing what somebody's telling me I'm doing instead of really knowing what I'm doing. It's a big difference.
What's your favorite holiday memory? Is it New York and the Bronx? Is it now? What's your favorite holiday memory?
My favorite holiday memory, it's all of them. Technically, we have fun as a family. Mm-hmm. Like, we have a big family. We have fun. We tell jokes. Mm-hmm. You know, we play pranks. Oh, remember when I caught your brother that time?
Play a lot of games, Uno. We're very competitive with the ping pong, Uno, Monopoly.
Who wins a Monopoly all the time? Monopoly will start an argument in my house that lasts 3 days in my crib.
Yeah.
Same.
Who wins?
Yeah.
Alicia's very good. She's very strategic. Egypt's very good.
Yes, Egypt.
Little brother Egypt, he's like the Monopoly man. He's like Daddy Warbucks. Like,
he loves money.
Loves money.
He gets it from mom and dad.
He loves just counting the paper. Like,
no, he's addicted to money. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Serious.
Yeah.
Like, he.
And I said, do you have any? What's your expectations for the holidays? Because, you know, your dad's been doing very well for a very long time. So do you even have any wants?
I want everyone to tune in to Drive, what we just made.
Okay.
Coming out on November 16th. And I want everyone to just really cherish this time with their family. Like, that's what I want. I don't really have a lot of physical needs this year. I have spiritual needs. I have family needs. And I want people to really just cherish this time with their loved ones right now, because the state that the world is in right now is just really, we need that.
That's real.
Now, let's talk about the show Drive, right? Now, Drive is a car show that comes out. Most people don't know that. Anytime before I purchase a car, I call Swizz. And then when I get the car, I FaceTime Swizz. So if a FaceTime ever comes up, Swizz will be in the bed sleeping. And he'll wake up, what did you get now, Envy? What did you get? Like, we're so excited for cars. So let's talk about Drive and what made you want to do this show, Drive.
Well, growing up in the Bronx, looking at cars passing in the hood that I couldn't afford, that's my car. I eventually got, my first car was the Nissan Z300 twin turbo. I paid, $6,000 for it at the time. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I've just been into cars and collecting and ended up doing car shows. So when this opportunity came, I just was like, man, like, you know, I have a chance to not just do a car show, but do a show that doesn't exist in the car space, which is travel, community, family, father and son. You know, you don't really get to see father and son bonds from our community. That's positive. So I thought that was a plus. And we wanted to educate people and not just show bling cars, not just putting million-dollar cars up, but really showing the everyday person how they make magic as well, mm-hmm. You know, and which I think is phenomenal.
What's it like working with each other?
Who, my little brother?
Yeah. We have so much fun. Like, it's not even funny. Like, we don't really have, we have perfect synthesis. We know how to work with each other very, very well.
But I was going to ask, you know, with you guys went to different markets. So you seen the car culture in New York, you know, the car culture in Houston and California. What was your favorite car culture and why?
I love Japan.
Japan.
Japan is definitely one of my favorite episodes because the architecture, the culture there, they're like 500 years ahead of us, right? So every single thing that they do there, they're so masterful with it. Mm-hmm. So when we went to go see the drifting, and we went to actually go drift with the Tokyo Drifters, the drift champion.
Never again.
We just saw how crazy, like, skillful they were for us to put our lives in their hands and for them to actually, you know, be able to handle that. You know, they were good.
When you say 500 years into the future, like, what do you mean?
Like, you know, America's a young continent. Mm-hmm. Like, Asia is way older and culturally and.
Well, I'm just talking about the technology of the cars.
Historically. Yeah. Oh, no, we're not flying.
You're about to make him go deep on you.
But in the terms of them being masterful at every single thing they do, whether it's making a drink, cutting ice, designing, doing anime comic book sketches, architecture, painting clothes, we go there for inspiration. So being over there to go into the depth of their culture was like, that was definitely one of my favorite episodes, and you'll see why. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was going to ask, you know, one thing, if you don't know, Swizz is a major collector, right? He collects a lot, whether it's watches, whether it's artwork. He got me into artwork early. And cars, Swizz was the first person. You know, usually people say when you buy a car, you lose money. But Swiss has figured a way that the cars that he purchased, whether they're small or big, he always makes money and knows when to get out of them, and he calls. So what do you think about your dad's car collection, and how did you get to the knowledge of learning cars like the way that you do? Because most people say, your cars are a bad investment, but you figured that out. Dad's car collection.
Everyone thinks that my dad has an endless line of cars in the garage, right? And this is a misconception. He used to have a lot of cars in his younger days, and now he's just really curated the list of cars that he does have. So it is way more, like I said, curated in the sense of it's just not buying anything to buy anything, but just because it's with purpose and it's with a plan.
Right.
So I've just been observing that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Does he let you drive any of his cars?
Yeah, but I don't really ask him like that.
No, just take like the $1 million car or the one that $4 million, just take it around the block one time.
Yeah, he would let me. You would let me?
He can't.
You would let me. He would let me. You would let me, right?
No.
Right?
You don't see how big he is? He can't fit in the damn car. He drove the loft and his knees was on the, like, in the dash.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You don't remember that?
That's right.
Did this help y'all bond? I mean, I'm sure y'all already had a great bond, but did it help y'all bond even more?
Yeah, because, you know, like, we have kids and we love our kids, but it's nothing like spending, like, uninterrupted quality time, and we would wake up every day, every morning, together every day, you know, and just communicate. And we did the Gumball 3000 for his 18th birthday. Mm-hmm. Where did we drive from?
We went from Mykonos to Ibiza.
From Mykonos to Ibiza, the longest drive of my life. Then they gave us the car with the steering wheel on the wrong side, which made it even worse. But that was a sign because everybody was racing to go to these different finish lines. And the car with the steering wheel being on the wrong side, it made me slow down, and it made us have to spend time together and vibe during that trip. And our favorite song was what the whole time?
I Follow Rivers by Leaky Lee.
I follow. Yeah, that
one. I follow. Yeah.
Who's your favorite road trip partner, Swiss? Nasir or DMX? Because we always hear about the stories of you and X in the car. That's legendary.
That's a hard one. I love you, but I gotta say DMX.
I love you too.
For a lot of other reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, X was very animated. Nas is laid back. He can get animated when he wants to. But I would get to hear stories from X that I never heard before when we're in the car. Mm-hmm. Like the last car ride we drove.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I went to go visit him in like upstate New York, and he wanted to go see Scarface in Boston. And he's like, yo, you know, Scarface is in Boston tonight. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, shout out to Scarface. You know, I just drove like 2 hours to go where he was at in the first place. And this one I had the 720. Mm-hmm. McLaren, so it's a sports car, and I used to always bring the cars up so X could drive them around when I visit him, and he's like hinting again, I want to go see Scarface. I'm like, you want me to take you to see Scarface? I just drove 2 hours, and he never really asked me for things like that, so I can tell that it was something that he really wanted to do. So we get in the ride, we get in the car, we go 5 hours to see Scarface.
Wow.
And the whole
5 hours in a little ass car. This wasn't no big Escalade. Like it's little car. Like his arm and their arms were touching the whole ride.
Yeah, my ass still hurt from that drive. Right? And so we're driving and he's playing old school music. And then he stops the music and he asks me to record him, which he never does. And he just like gave me his life story. Like I never heard it before.
Wow.
And that was our last drive, but it was epic.
Wow. Mm. You still have, of course you have the.
Absolutely. Yes. Wow. Yes.
Wow.
And we went on stage and he rocked with Scarface.
Wow.
All night.
Is it time for a DMX documentary, a true DMX movie?
It's always time to witness greatness. But I feel that it just has to be. Me personally, I just wanted to be shot and directed like to the standard of what he gave us. He gave us timeless moments. He gave us, you know, his life, literally. And so I feel that, you know, a lot of people have been pitching documentaries and movies, but they don't, you know, it needs to have the right care. And I want it to be the biggest thing in the world for him.
Nas, did you learn anything about your dad that you didn't know? No? After working on this series, taking these long road trips?
Yeah, 1,000%. I learned that he doesn't go as fast as you think he would, having the fast, very fast cars. Like, he actually is pretty reserved now. And he really picks what he wants to do. He picks how fast he wants to go. He picks if he wants to get in the monster truck. He picks if he wants to go drifting. Like, he has that that situational discernment now. That's pretty good.
Situational discernment. I like that.
I was going to ask, you know, with all the artists that your dad worked with, who did you enjoy listening to and talking to the most?
I have two, because I haven't sat down with the first one I'm about to tell you, like, mm-hmm. on a personal note. But Lil Wayne is definitely one of my favorite artists ever, and that my dad has collabed with as well. Who did I really like?
Dad's worked with the whole industry, by the way.
Oh, Pharrell.
Pharrell.
Pharrell, yeah. I remember being a kid and like his energy just lit up the room, and he had such a great spirit. I could feel it. And I remember that feeling till this day.
Now you said Pharrell. Now, this is your dad's pressure. Now, Busta, about a month ago, said he's doing an album where Pharrell, Timbaland, and Swiss Beatz are the EPs. How? How does that happen?
You know, Busta is somebody that don't back down easy. Mm-hmm. You can't tell him no. And he signed us up for his project. and we just said, okay, let's do it. And he came, he's like, you know, you, Tim, Pharrell, y'all my producers for the project. I'm like, okay. No, the executive producers. Okay. And then, I don't know, like somehow we actually all got into a space, which is a photo of us on this boat. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, yo, he really manifested this. Like, wow. We didn't even plan to be on that boat at that time. It's not like, okay, let's have an executive producer boat ride. Like, we just all ended up sitting there, and I'm looking around like, okay, I hear the universe. Okay, I guess we're doing it.
Is it done? Is it almost done?
It's done, and it needs to come out now. You know, because Busta will hold on to an album for 30 summers.
Forever.
Right?
This might be a stupid question. He's named after Nas, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is Nas like his godfather or something?
No, my mom's from Queens.
Yeah, his mother loved Nas, so well, you know, right. I was kind of conflicted in a way, but. You know what I'm saying? But then I was like, shit, I love Nas too.
Crazy.
You know, everybody always ask about verses, man. What's up with verses?
Big things. You know, I'm happy that me and Tim was able to take the time to understand our company because when we launched it, it was during the pandemic, things is happening. Like, we never got no rest. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we was helping everybody else feel better and have something to go to other than the negative news and energy at that time, but we didn't take time for ourselves. And so things went fast, and we own the company 100% again, which is super fresh, and we got some big announcements coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's something, I mean, I know it's something artists still want to do, but you know, during the pandemic, it was more pure because it was just about the music. Now it's so much business and red tape involved.
Yeah, and naturally, when something gets big like that, that happens. But you know, versus, and I tell people, because I hear people on the shows, and when you bring up verses, they're like, oh, I don't want to. And it's not a battle show. Mm-hmm. It's a show where two artists celebrating each other with their hits. Now, if you want to make it a battle, I'm not going to say, hey, don't talk tough to this guy.
Right.
You make it a battle, or you can make it a love fest. You know, like, there's been many verses that has been smooth and loving, but with the hip hop, it's just the ego. You know how it's competitive.
Bro, you put the Lox and Dipset on stage.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And everybody, I think a lot of people thought Dipset was going to take that one away.
I know many people thought that the Dipset was going to.
And then it was Jada.
Yeah, you got the right hat on.
So what was the biggest versus for you as far as culture? Would that be the biggest?
Yeah, that and Gucci Mane and
Jeezy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Jeezy.
Yeah, those two, because that's what verses do. It, you know, it took two guys that really went to war to the point of no return, mm-hmm. and verses gave them an outlet to, you know, send a different message out there to the youth today, because they're not who they was 15 years ago, but right. there's no outlets that can let you, as a man, as a, you know, stand on how you feel and move past from it. And this is why, you know, I could, if I stopped Versus today, I would be fine, because we won already. Like, it did what it needed to do, but it needs to do more, because Versus, the people's streams go up 700%, people sell out their tours. It's so, we call it the Versus effect, and the artists get so much from Versus. And so all the artists out there who's listening to this, please stop trying to charge us more than you ever made on your show. You know, show us the love that you show those other outlets that you don't get nothing from it.
That's right.
You know, and so that was the thing. That was like the hardest thing, was hearing the artists trying to overdo it for no reason.
Yeah. I got to ask, because there's been a lot of rumors about some Versus that were, what hopefully will still get done. You just say yes or no.
I don't want to say yes or no.
Diddy or Jermaine Dupri, is that going to happen?
He just said he don't want to say yes.
I know, but I'm going to ask anyway.
But the reason, see, because I'm not scared to answer the question, by the way. But what happens is, this clip right here gets played back to me, and it's like, yo, I didn't really want to confirm that yet, blah, blah, blah. And I have to deal with this offline and say, yo, they asked me a question. Y'all went out there and did a promo run, and y'all went out there and said y'all wanted to do it. All I did was confirm what y'all said.
Okay.
Yeah, but that was a different time. But the Versus documentary has been, we've been shooting a documentary since the beginning of Versus. Mm-hmm. So Lena Waithe is the director. Y'all going to see all of this, what I'm telling you. Like,
I tape for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dr. Dre. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Dr. Dre versus who?
I heard that it was, at one time he wanted, it was possibly, could have happened.
100%. I don't think any of those are off the table.
I want to ask you, Nasir, when it comes to having a legendary father like Swiss, do you feel pressure or freedom to succeed?
I feel to succeed, pressure comes with the territory. I feel like the person that my father is, I feel freedom and inspiration too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are still moments into which we have conversations about why the pressure is necessary, why diamonds don't fall off trees. You know what I'm saying? You have to really, really hone all your energy into something that you're doing. And when I, or how I've like translated the position that I'm in, it was never a pressure or a envious thing. It was always like a very homegrown, natural, inspirational thing. And like I said, pressure comes with anything you want to do, especially if you want to be great.
I liked how you touched his shoulder when you said envious.
Say, why are you touching his shoulder? Say that envious thing. What is going on here, man?
What kind of pressure do you put on him?
I put real pressure on him to be himself, mm-hmm. and to not follow the trends and to set his own stage, set his own lane, because, you know, a lot of people naturally gravitate towards him, mm-hmm. Because of his family. But my thing is, I put the pressure on him to distinguish who's who and what's what. You know, like a person might give him a gift, and I get on him about that gift. I'm like, yo, well, why did this person give you that gift? Mm-hmm. Like, why? Mm-hmm. You know, tell me the why. Mm-hmm. If you can't tell me the why and you can't give that person a gift back, don't take the gift.
Right.
That's real.
You know, because people, they be setting up their plays and, mm-hmm. you know, and it's you know, it's a very, very scary world outside.
Yeah, it's different, right?
Different. It's different outside.
Right. Well, we appreciate you guys for joining us. Drive with Swiss Beats. Where can they see this?
You can see Drive premiering November 16th on Hulu. Drive with Swiss Beats. Tune all the way in. All six episodes will be dropping simultaneously, so you can binge watch the whole thing.
It's a zone.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate you guys for joining us.
Make some noise for Swiss Beats and Nasir Dean, y'all. Right.
Zah, zah, zah. I've never seen the audience here. Like, this is amazing.
Nah, they do these nice little events from time to time.
I heard
well, it's not little at all, but
I heard y'all doing some big things today.
This is cool.
Yeah, so so this is Change for Change, where we give back to people. And what people did this time is they put a wish list of things that they needed for the holidays. And shout to Amazon. They provided their wish list for a lot of people.
Okay.
So, like, even today, since you guys are here, I think we should do something special. Charlamagne, what you think?
Oh, I'm all for it.
Now, for everybody
that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
Now, for everybody who put in a wish list and came in, put your hands up one time, and then you brought a person with you, right? Right? So, for you guys today, we're going to give everybody that signed up $1,000.
That's right.
Hold up. Where you sign up at?
Yeah, fuck. where do we do that?
But not only that. The people that you came with, we're going to give $1,000 to.
That's right.
Hey, hey, hey.
See? One of y'all didn't want to come.
Hey.
See? One of y'all had to get begged to come here. Now look.
This is the big money show. This is the big money show.
Yes. So we appreciate you guys for coming. We got a lot of cool stuff for you as well. And just say thank you guys for rocking with us and riding
That's
with
right.
us.
And thank you to Amazon, man.
Thank you for Amazon. You. We yes. really appreciate you guys.
We couldn't do none of this without Amazon. So thank you very much.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Nasir, Swiss Beats, we are the Breakfast Club.
Peace.
Zone, zone. Yeah.
Wake that ass up in the morning. The Breakfast Club.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.